just be alive. Alive and in the right mind. Certain people don't have the right mind. We thank God we have a right mind. And thank God tonight that we have a mind to be in church. We bless the Lord and thank God for how He's continued to deliver my wife. Amen. She's leading some, so she got to be feeling all right. Amen. So we just thank God for that. We thank God for all of you being here. Give yourselves a hand. Actually, I was going to continue our talk on Sunday, from Sunday, about who or what is holding you back. But this morning, the Lord troubled my mind, so I figured I better change. And I didn't change it. Actually, the Lord changed it on me. So let's start with our scripture reading first, from Luke, the 4th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 13. And then we will explain things a little further afterwards. Amen. So if everyone can stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Amen. We pray tonight that nobody's holding anybody back. Amen. We are free in Jesus. If we all have it, can we say amen? And we'll start off with verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward conquered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all this shall be thine, and thou shalt take. Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, wait, I got something. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's good enough. May the Lord have the best to read and refer to the church said. Word of God is the best of all. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. As I said, that my original plan was to continue our thought from Sunday on who is holding you back, and is it the same old thing? Amen. But as I said this morning, the Lord troubled me, and I woke up real early, earlier than normal. And as I sit there, the Lord just started recapping things and putting some things in my mind. And I think it's important that we understand that the devil's for real. Amen. And that he uses whatever he can to get the advantage over us. So tonight, our thoughts will be blinded by deceitful gifts and false promises. Blinded by deceitful gifts and false promises. Amen. And if we were to have a subtopic to that, it would be, have you been blinded by the prince and master of deception? Have you been blinded by the prince and master of deception? Amen. And as I said, things just start falling in line with scripture. I just let the Lord use the scriptures, and then I just wrote them down. But I didn't discuss it with anyone but my wife. A couple of months ago, a pastor called me, and he said, Pastor, I want you to pray with me for something. He said, there is a man of God that came into they rented our church, and they were supposed to be apostolic, and they let them use the church. And after a while, they just felt uncomfortable with that pastor being in the church, and they asked him to leave. But what the pastor did when he came to the church, is that they were in a very low, rundown, financially poor neighborhood. And what he did is he wined and dined all the people. He just, whatever they needed, he paid for it. He just kept paying for everything that they needed. And then eventually, the people had hit. Now, remember, the devil would wind and dine to get the advantage. So after a while of whining and dining them, all of the people that were going to other churches start following him, because he was giving them everything they needed. Whatever it was, he just paid for it. He was loaded with money. Then after he got them to leave those churches, he said, now, the Lord don't want you to have these houses. He said, sell all your houses, everything you have, and give it to me, and I will continue to take care of you. So these people sold all of their property, gave him all their money, and then when whatever checks were coming in, whether they were Social Security checks, disability checks, they gave all their money to him, and then he was to take care of them. To the point that he said, now he got so much control over the people, and this is a true story. And he said, well, pray for me, because we're trying to figure out how to handle this situation properly. I said, the best way for you to handle that properly is go to the authorities. You know, because this ain't a God thing. This is what he's doing. He's not using the Bible. He's wrong. But he wouldn't allow them to make a move unless they got permission from him first. You know what he did? He won them over through the deceitfulness of riches. He used his money to win their favor. Then after he won their favor, he began to control them. The one lady had a five-bedroom house. She actually was in pretty good conditions financially. But he told her, he said, well, that's not what God wants for you. So she sold her house, and then she moved into a house that he was in control of. So he decided who would come in the house, who would go out of the house. And it just so happened that the lady realized that something was desperately wrong, because what this pastor did is he cut them off from all of their other families. But the way he initiated it is by giving them stuff, right? Giving them gifts. It just all kind of things, making all kind of false promises about what he was going to do for them. So what happened was, the lady had been going to the church that this pastor was in, and the lady called and said, well, I'd like to come back to church. And the pastor said, well, sure, come on, come back to church. So the pastor said, okay, you can go to church, but I will drop you off and I will pick you up. This is how much, this is what happens when you're not watching. Right? And when the master deceiver is involved. So he said, you can go to church, but all the way you can go is I have to drop you off and I have to pick you up after service. You can't do anything but come out to me. And after service, the lady told him, she said, I don't want to go with you. So there was kind of a scene they created there. So the pastor and all the other ministers were trying to figure out how to handle that situation. But you know how he got the advantage? Through the deceitfulness of riches. He divided them, dyed them, gave them everything they wanted. And then when he was in control, he took everything away. That's how the devil works, all right? So what the concern that we have tonight is the devil whining and dying. And like I said, actually what happened in the middle of all this, I had a bad dream, right? And I just woke up and was like, wow. And the person in the dream that I was working with, they had given confidence to this individual. And then after the person got the confidence, he took advantage of them. And they were trying to get help, and somehow, I don't know how I wound up there to help. But then I asked the person, I said, wait a minute, for a person to have this kind of control, what have they been giving you? This is in the dream. I said, what have they been giving you that they feel so they can control you like this? They said, oh, they've been giving me everything. Right? So then I woke up and all this happened. So I said, you know what? God don't give us a message unless it's a reason. Right? So God doesn't give us information. God is not an abstract God. God just doesn't do things to do it. So tonight, the question is, who is the devil setting up, giving stuff, making false promises? Alright? So now let's go back to Luke. This is Jesus. And we all know that Jesus is who? God. You can be assured if he will offer Jesus something, he will offer it to us. Amen. So the scripture said in verse 1, that Jesus being full of the, he was full of it, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were in it, he afterwards hungered. And the devil, when you think you're at your spiritual high, you have to be alert. The Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil will give you everything just to get the advantage. Amen. It says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is, isn't it a blessing to know what God's word says? The devil can't deceive you if you know what the word says. That man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up into a high mountain. And we know this, even though it says mountain, higher than a mountain, amen, it's got to be a little higher than that.
Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah.
It's going to be a little higher than a mountain, because when he takes him up into the mountain, he says, show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. Right? Now, this is God we're talking about. The devil is tempting God like this. He has no respect for anybody. You can be assured he will tempt you the same way. He says, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give. What is this of? How can you give the creator of the whole earth? Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. How is the devil tempting God to give him power when he has? Because he's the master deceiver. He's a master manipulator. He's the prince and master of deception. And don't ever think we can get so spiritual that the devil won't come after us. And he uses things to get our attention, and we don't realize it because it's a matter of deception. Amen? Amen. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of him, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will. The devil does have power. You know, many of those that are in rock and roll, like KISS, what they call KISS and Satanic Service, many of them have sold their soul out to the devil for what? For what they are false promises. Amen. Be assured of one thing tonight. You might think you got it all together, but the devil is never impressed with you, neither is he impressed with me. If he went to Jesus when he was full of the Holy Ghost, I don't think none of us are full of the Holy Ghost. And none of us, I mean, we're full of it, but not like Jesus was. Right? Because he was God and he had all power. But he's tempting the very creator. You know the insult? Jesus created him. And he's tempting the creator. In Luke 10:18, Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He said, I was there when we cast him out of heaven. Now he's going to the very one that cast him out to tempt him through deception. He don't care about any of us. Amen? Verse 7 says, thou, if therefore thou wilt worship me, all shall be. His only desire is to get us to what? Worship. How can the very one that created you turn around and worship you? Right? Because the devil is a master deceiver. Amen. And he uses gifts. He uses riches. He makes false promises to get the advantage. And you know, there's a concern today for young people, because young people think it's all that's going on in the world is what's happening. That is not what's happening. Amen. What's going on in the world, if you're not aware, if you're not alert, will take you away from God. And what the devil does, and he won't do it all at once. He does it little by little. Like he said, because if he does it little by little, then you're not aware of it. So he spiritually seduces us. That's why the Bible says, beware of the seducing spirit. The devil seduces us how? Little by little. How does he do it? He gives us gifts. Amen. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8. Exodus 23 verse 8. Then we're going to come back to this just to show you the insult that the devil had to try to tempt the very creator of the heavens and the earth. Through what? The deceitfulness of riches and false promises, right? I've heard so many stories of people that have used their wealth and their position to gain the power over someone, not out of love, but just to control them. We have to be so careful as a people of God that we don't allow anybody to control us. If anybody controls you to make you go against God, you need to get away from that. Can we say praise the Lord? And if anyone is going to give you a lot of false hopes and false promises about what they're going to do for you, and their whole desire is to get you away from God. I don't know if y'all remember the cartoon. We used this cartoon quite a while ago. It was a young man, and he was with an older man. That's how the devil usually works. You know, he'll get somebody that you look up to, you respect, that's older than you are. And he said, well, I'm going to listen to them because they probably know better. But in the cartoon, the young man that was originally following God, and he got wrapped up with this older man, and the older man said, oh, you don't need that church stuff. Just follow me. I'll make a way for you. And the man whined and dined. He gave him everything, cars, you name it, whatever he wanted, he gave to him. Then, as the scene unfolds in the judgment, the young man dies, and some kind of way he winds up with the old man in the judgment. And then when the Lord tells him, he said, your works have not been of such, he said, you started off, but then you detoured. What allowed you to detour? He said, well, my friend was telling me that I didn't really have to go this way. And then when they got to the judgment scene, they were about to be cast into hell, the friend took off the mask and it was Satan. He said, you deceived me. I wonder how many tonight are being deceived by others and then leading them away from God. Well, Exodus 23 and 8 says, and thou shalt take no gifts. Gifts are bribes. People are giving you stuff just to get you to do what they want you to do, just like this pastor did in this place. Giving people everything, they were just excited. And they didn't realize they had really sold their souls out to this pastor. They couldn't go to another church. He even cut off all friends and family. They couldn't even have friends and family. They couldn't visit anybody. He said, right now, I'm your boss. I'm in charge. And guess what? He was in charge because they gave him all of their money. Same thing that Jim Jones did. Same thing that David Koresh did. How does a man manipulate people to that point? Jim Jones was so bad, I don't know why more people didn't get away from him. He got upset. He said, you believe the Bible more than you believe me. Right? When people start talking like that, you know it's time for you to get away from them. But he says here, he says, thou shalt take no bribes. Don't let people give you stuff, manipulating you, controlling you, because they don't have your best interest in heart. Right? Their only desire is to be used as a tool of Satan to deceive you. He said, for the gift blindeth. Now, you said, when I give you something, you, in your right mind, you say, wait a minute, I ain't supposed to do that. But because they're giving you stuff and giving you what you want, it blindeth the wise. Because you know better, but the gift does what? Blindeth. Right? So people are whining and dying and giving us stuff. And you know, it's sort of like you get out there, he's like, wait a minute, why am I here? You know, seriously, you ever wonder that? How did I wind up in this position? And then your subconscious mind and your godly mind, God is working with you. And God is telling you, get out of it. Come out of it. Don't stay there. Right? Come out of that, because that's going to eventually ruin you. But you can't come out of it because of the bride. And the blind does what? It blinds, it spiritually blinds you to the point that you can't make a proper decision because of the gift. So the devil is using more gifts today than ever. Wealth and power and fame more than ever to do what? He blindeth the wise. And the scripture says, and perverteth the word of the, it means the devil is so bad that he twists the righteous to the point that they believe a truth, believe a lie over the truth. Right? Because of the what? The gift. So in your spirit, you say, wait a minute. What's going on here is wrong. But if you don't break away from it fast enough, the devil will get the advantage. Amen? So now let's go back to Luke chapter 4. Verse 8 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, for it is, let God lead you. Let God direct you. Let God order your steps. Don't get caught up in all of the, yes, we need money. Yes, we need this. But it cannot be an obsession. Right? Because even Timothy, the 6th chapter, says, they that will be rich will drown themselves with many sorrows. It'll be a snare. It'll be a trap. Why? The riches are deceitful. And they will blind you. The more you get, the less you see God. And then you begin to worship money. And Jesus said, you cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve two masters. So the devil said, well, you know what? I'm going to give you all of this. Because when I give you all this fame, all this wealth, all this riches, you're going to forget about God. That is his whole desire. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Verse 9 says, and he brought him to, now how in the world is the devil leading Jesus around? Think about that. How's the devil leading Jesus? He's a master manipulator. He just wants to have control. He takes him up to it. First, he takes him up to a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. Like in a blink of an eye, he said, this is all yours. If he does that to God, what do you think he'll do to us? Right? That's why we have to be sober and be vigilant. Verse 11 says, verse 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had given the temptation, he departed from him, but only for a season. Right? Because the devil was never satisfied until he could get the advantage. Now he didn't, now you think after he finished fighting with God that created him, he would have left him alone, but he only left for how long? A season. Right? So we resist the devil for so long, but then we let down our guard, and then in the right season he comes. Right. But he doesn't come back when you are strong, he comes back when you've been going through some stuff. He comes back when you've been broken. He comes back when you're crushed. He comes back when you've been laid down. He said, now the time is right. In the right season. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Amen. Blinded by deceitful gifts and false promises. The devil is the devil. Young people, the devil is the devil. He will make you every promise he to get you out of church. Anytime in your right mind, and he blindeth the wise, right? So if he blinds you wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So in your wisdom, you reverence and fear God. The minute you start doing things against God, you are being set up to be deceived. You are being set up to fall. And then what happens is once he gets you leaning, he gives you more gifts. Amen. And to the point that you begin to question, where is my mind? You ever go through something that's like, oh, what's going on in my mind? The devil is setting you up. And he hasn't hit you with the big one, but you can be guaranteed. He's going to wait till you. The devil is a manipulator. Right? It took him 40 years when he got solid. Think about how in the world can he get the wisest man besides Jesus that ever lived? The man that wrote Proverbs.
Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and warned all of us about what not to do. How did he get it? Because he got him at the right season. Just like he tried to do Jesus. Just like he would do all of us. So you do well to stay in God. Amen. Don't let him tempt you. Verse 1 of 2nd, well, let's start with verse 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We talk about a master deceiver. Right? We talk about the prince of deceptions. Offer you everything. Twist your mind. Twist God's word. We're going to hopefully get to the part where he begins to do a whole lot of twisting to get the advantage. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 read, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." What the church leadership, what church is supposed to do, what the fivefold ministry is supposed to do, is bring us to Christ. Right? In ministry, pastors, ministers, teachers, evangelists, elders, they should never magnify themselves more than God. Because their intention is they're supposed to bring you to Christ. Amen. So Paul said, "I'm trying to bring you to Christ as a chaste virgin, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, he tricked her, he deceived her, as he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity." Well, how did he deceive Eve? He twisted God's word. So for him to get the advantage, we have to first get you to listen. Right? So now let's go to Genesis chapter 3. We're talking about the master deceiver. We're talking about the prince and master of deception. Offering us everything to get us to walk away from God. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses?" He said, "Well, better yet, what can you give in exchange?" For some of us are selling out to the devil, we don't even realize it. Right? We're selling our souls to the devil and don't even realize it. We're compromising our conviction and we don't even realize it. Why? Because we're being showered with gifts. The devil is wide, he's wider than diamonds down at Satan's Cafe. Yes, we're at Satan's Cafe. You know, when you're at Satan's Cafe, you sitting there, you're eating, and everything around you is all messed up. We just like, "Oh, I'm strong enough, I can handle this," right? And you, how you gonna eat at Satan's Cafe and you're a child of God? Because he's whining and dining you. Why? Because he's trying to blind you in judgment. Right? You don't realize what he's doing. So he's constantly setting you up. You're every time you turn around and say, "Well, is this another setup?" You know, you ever just be thinking about nothing and all of a sudden the craziest stuff will come to your mind? It's like, "What is this?" You're being set up. The devil say, "You know what, if I can get you to lean, if I can just get your attention, if I can just get you to communicate with me a little bit, then I can get the advantage." Amen? So verse 1 of Genesis chapter 3 reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, has God said." Wait a minute. You think the devil will tell you the truth? Seriously. The devil said, "Has God said?" Now, is he going to tell you, "Has God said," when he's trying to get God to worship him? And you read about it in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. He said, "I'm going to set my throne above the stars of God." He said, eventually, he said, "I'm going to be greater than the Most High." Be assured of one thing. He has no respect for you. Mother, daughter, child, whatever you are, the devil has no respect. His only desire is to get you to worship him. So he said, "Has God said?" But then what does he do? He tells her a lie. Just like he would do any of us. You know, you say, "Well, I know what God said, but God is so forgiving. God is so kind. God is so loving. If I just mess up, God will forgive me." Be careful. Right? Because the Bible said God's spirit would not always desire within. We can get to the point where we can send our days of grace away. In the book of Exodus, the scripture says, their sin, your sin will find you out. Don't compromise for the devil. Amen? He said, yeah, if God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God told them? We all know God said, don't eat of what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden. Right? The tree of knowledge was in the midst. So this is how the devil works. Now you have to pass all those other good trees. Right? All those trees you have to pass to get into the midst. All those trees you pass in the midst. But then the very tree that God said don't touch, you can keep it. He said, but don't eat of it. You can dress it, but don't eat of it. The very thing God said don't eat of is where he takes you. Now think in your own mindset, we know, I may know some stuff that God said I should do, but I've been doing it anyway. Because you've been deceived by the master deceiver. Amen? So he said, verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Amen? It goes on to say, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not. He's a master deceiver. Has no respect for anyone. She told them what God said, right? God said, don't eat of it. You ever said, I know growing up as kids anyway, people would say, growing up down south, you do such and such, you're the one that's going to hell. We were afraid to go to hell. I don't know if y'all, but y'all, hell will get us straight, right? But then the friend said, I think that's what old folks always tell you that because he's trying to scare you. Right? You know what I'm saying? Old folks always say, yeah, you're going to hell, just go ahead and do it. I'm saying, I'm doing it, look at me, I ain't in hell. Right? That's the master deceiver. People say, well, look how God is blessing me. Look at all I've done. Watch the master deceiver. He will take you straight to hell. They told us as we were going up, say, don't do this. You won't go to hell. They just don't want you to have fun. Right? That's the devil. That is the biggest lie. Amen. Don't do anything to compromise your conviction. Verse 4 said, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman, lust of the eyes, right? All this in the world, lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh and what? The Bible said this is not of God, it is of the world. The lust of the eyes. So first thing he does is he gets you to look. As long as you're in church and doing what you ought to do, your focus is on God. But the minute the devil can take your focus off of God, then he tempts you with the lust of the eyes. Oh, everybody else is doing it. They seem to be all right, so how can I do it? Don't let the devil. Hallelujah. Don't let him deceive you. So you got to first look. If he can just get your attention, you don't have to look long. Now she wasn't there looking at it long, but she did what? She looked. Well, think about this. All that time that she'd been in the garden, hadn't she been seeing the fruit? It wasn't a new fruit. She didn't just see this fruit, but now the master deceiver is presenting the fruit in a masterfully deceptive way to make it look more appealing than it ever did. That's why we have to come out from among the Bible says, be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, God. He said, I'll be your father and you'll be my child. But as long as you stand there dimming and dabbing and playing in the world, the devil gets you looking at stuff you are not to be looking at. It said, and the woman saw the tree was good for food, which is something for the what? Food is for the lust of the class, right? These three elements that the devil has never changed. He's going to use one of these three to get your attention. And then when he gets one of the three to get your attention, he comes in and shadows you with the other two to get you out of church. And you think you're going through the motion. You think you're fooling everybody, but God is constantly giving you warnings. Because the Bible says that warning coming before destruction. Amen. So God constantly warning, you're going wrong. Get right. You're going the wrong direction. Don't do this. Amen. All right, I got to speed up because I'm not going to even finish. I'm on page 2 of notes, and I got 5 more pages, but we're just going to time pick where it's at, okay? And pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one the pride of life. Why? She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And when they disobeyed God, now remember, a gift does what? Blinds. But how did when you get blind do you see? They weren't seeing spiritually as God wanted them to see. They were seeing naturally. So their eyes were, both of them were now open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig tree leaves together and made themselves aprons. Okay, that's good enough there. Let's go a little further now. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's drop down to verse 13. Now we're talking about the master deceiver. You just ask yourself a question. How is he so shrewd to deceive so many? Verse 13 says, for such are their true apostles, they are false apostles. Their true churches, they are false churches. Everything that calls this name a church ain't a church. Amen. They got a gay church. How in the world can you have a gay church when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and left them an example for us that anyone that follows that way, he's going to destroy? But they got gay churches. There's all kinds of churches, but that church doesn't mean God is in it. Amen. So he says, such a false apostle. What kind of workers? Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is what? He disguises himself as though he is an angel. Who is this? Satan himself disguises himself as though he is an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be then disguising themselves. They're putting on a show as though they are righteous, whose end shall be according to their works. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. The master deceiver. He will be in your face telling you, there are people like this all over. Amen. Boastful. And you know, one part of in 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about those that are boasting of all they have. Boasting of all they do. Boasting of all they can accomplish. And look at the works that I've done. You got to watch, because they already messed up. Because when he said, I, that ain't God. It ain't what we do. Paul said, all that I am by the grace of God. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. The minute you take Jesus out, you're finished. I don't care how far you get as far as the world calls prosperity and fame. Once Jesus is out, you have nothing. And once Jesus is out, you have sold your soul for whatever you're involved in. Once you replace Jesus and you get wrapped up and tied up in anything, it could be a person, it could be anything in place of God, you have sold your soul for that. And the devil is happy. Right? Because he got you leading. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul writes, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering unto him, right? In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we shall all meet him in the clouds of the sky, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by. If you say you know your thing, nothing should trouble you. The reason we have trouble is because our lives are not in line with God's word and God's will. So things begin to trouble us. So that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. Also, we won't trouble you. Amen. It's our desire to bring you to Christ. As that day of Christ is at hand, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. For that day shall not come except there come a
right.
A lot of people say, well, listen, I used to be in church and I used to, don't let them deceive you. Hallelujah. Don't be part of the fallen way. I used to be in church. You need to get back in church. I used to be with the Lord. You need to get back with the Lord. Because the devil has blinded you with gifts. The devil has blinded you with false promises. And one of the main things the devil used to blind us is when somebody else lets us down, we take our eyes off God and begin to look at the individuals. Keep your eyes on Christ. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except that come and fall away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's a whole lot. I'm not going to really get into this part of the doctrinal parts of it, but we're dealing with the principle of deception, but this deals a whole lot with a lot of the false doctrines coming on them. We won't get into that for the time being because we can't explain it fully. See, verse 5 says, Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God? He exalts himself above all that is called God and is worshiped, so that he has God sitting in the
temple of God,
showing himself that he is the master manipulator, the master deceiver, trying to be in church acting like he's God. Right? Watch people if they don't have. If their works, you know, Jesus is so, and the word of God is so pleased. He said, by their fruits you shall what? By their fruits you shall know them. If the fruit is messed up, ain't no matter how long you say it, man, that fruit is messed up, it's messed up.
Amen.
Right? It says, not by their words, but by their, what are they putting out? What do you see? Right? It's just like, I can be a part of an ivy tree, and I say, oh, come on, I got a whole lot of grapes for you. Right? Women, if you come up to a part of an ivy tree, are you going to look for grapes? Mm-hmm. Because by their fruit, you know what that produces. How is the church being so blinded, believing in stuff that ain't even true?
Amen.
And you can look at the tree is messed up. The tree ain't walking right, the tree ain't talking right, right, but I'm gonna just fall it anyway. You're being deceived.
Yes.
You gotta listen, you don't ever follow man, you follow the program that God has established, and you follow God.
Amen.
Don't ever follow an individual, because an individual will always lead you wrong. If you follow an individual, it's even as me. If I take you take Christ out of me, I'm nothing. You have to follow Christ.
Amen.
Just because you've been in church for 100 years, if the church it has if the true fruit is bad, I'm not talking about no church. I'm talking about what you see.
Amen.
Don't they say what you see is what? What you get. You can't make it right when it's wrong. Can we say thank you, Jesus? Amen. So he just goes on and say, verse 5, remember ye not that when I was here with you, I told you. He said, I already warned you that this is going to happen. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Actually, Evangelist Lance has a book called The Secret Rapture. You need to read that book, The Secret Rapture. Right, because he explains these scriptures scripturally, not based on tradition. And we'll just leave it at that. And one day, they're going to explain it. But not tonight. Verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and
lying.
He's a deceiver. He'll tell you a lie. Amen. Mind wonder with all of what? Unrighteousness. If it ain't right, don't follow it. Don't be deceived by unrighteousness. And them that perish because they receive not. If you love the truth, if you love God from your heart, you won't be deceived. Because God won't permit you to be deceived. But when you accept the deceivableness of unrighteousness, you can be deceived. You can justify that as much as you're wrong. If it's unrighteous, it's unrighteous. Even the book of Revelation said, if he's unrighteous, let him be unrighteous still. If he's unjust, let him be unjust still. If he's unholy, let him be unholy still. That's what God's word says. So how can you change what God has already established? Don't be deceived by unrighteousness. If it's unrighteousness in the beginning, it will be unrighteous in the end. So, well, this is my family's church. What are you following? Even if it's, if I was a false prophet, I hope I ain't a false prophet. Somebody said that before, but I just let it go off my back. I don't think I'm a false prophet. You know? I don't think I'm a false prophet either, because I talk about God's word. False prophets talk about what they do. I don't talk about me, I talk about God, right? But anytime it gets unrighteous, the Bible says, if God tells you to come out from the world and be ye, do you think he wants you to stay in a bad church?
Right.
Hello? How can you stay in that? And all you can do is talk about the wrong, but you stay in it. The Bible says, be ye partaker of no man's sin. If it's wrong and you stay in it, you're just as wrong as the sinner. So when God has judgment, you're going to say, well, I was following him. God doesn't say that's your problem. You were following the wrong one. God said, you're supposed to be following me. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. The minute that person stopped following Christ, he needs to come out of it. Can we say praise the Lord? All right, so they have no love for the what? For the truth. Amen. Verse 11 says, for this cause God shall give them a strong delusion. Why? Because you know the truth, but you don't love the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But if you don't have a love for the truth, you stay bound up in a bad situation because you don't love the truth. When you don't love the truth, then you're easy to be deceived. Right? This is God said it. I didn't say it. Alright? So let's go on and see what he says for the rest of it. He says that they shall be damn who? If you don't believe the truth, I don't care what anybody else is saying. I don't care whatever they say. What's the truth? Right? If you don't believe the truth, it says you are damned. Amen? Well, have pleasure in unrighteousness. The real question is, how can we avoid being deceived by gifts and falls? How can we avoid this? My time. I can't quote something. Is that 8:15?
Yes.
Alright, let me give you like a few more minutes, alright? How can we not be deceived by gifts and false promises? Right? Isn't that a good question? What can I do? Who wants to be deceived? I don't want to be deceived. Right? Amen. I've been saved almost 40 years. I don't want to be saved 40 years if I'm over there following anything that's wrong. Amen. I want to follow what's right. I want to follow Christ. Even Peter said, following the steps that he has set for us. But be careful about gifts. Amen. The question to this can be found in the 8th chapter of John. We'll finish here because I don't think we'll get any further than this. Amen. We're talking about now deceitful gifts, false promises, and being under the influence of the prince, of the master of deception. Getting you to do wrong and think you're all right.
getting into sin and think God don't see it. When the Bible lets us know, God says, I record everything in the book. And in the day of judgment, God says, I'm going to call everything that you've done to record. And you want to have to give an account for everything done in your body. You're not going to be able to use it with, they influenced me. God said, you know why? Because in, when it comes to this point in this separating time, everyone must give an account for themselves. And that's why the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, we don't scare men, but we try to persuade them. It's time as a church to stop playing the church game. It's time to stop going through the road.
Yes.
And stop trying to go through the mechanics. Because God sees us where we are. God sees us in everything we do. God hears every word.
Yes.
You know, and I know everybody like this crazy Facebook. I'm just going to tell you, ain't nobody going to ever get me to do nothing good on Facebook. Ever. I know it's got a lot of good. But the bad far away. Just can't. You know, I've had everybody try to do this. Facebook is one of the biggest tools that the devil uses. Facebook has destroyed more marriages than anything. So tell me about the 10% that might be good. That 90% messed me up. So I just can't do it. Right? As a matter of fact, I was looking at one of my family something, and then when I saw all the stuff that was connected to this closed page, I said, I'll do better than this anyway. Don't let the devil set you up. Because the way he sets you up is he first gets you to look at it. Right? Then after you look at it, you know, the old preacher said, if you spend more than 1 second looking at anything, the devil takes that picture that you saw, and he takes it into the dark room and develops it and makes it a picture in your mind. And then that taunts and worries you to death. That just works on you. Why? Because you're entertained. Internet is good, but it's too much if you don't separate. You know, if you got internet, put it on high security. High security means nothing can come through except a seal will come through. Right? You got to protect yourself. We're living in a world where the devil is trying to get the advantage in all kind of ways. I tried to do LinkedIn to keep in contact with my college friends. It was so much seduction on there. I was on there for 2 days. And then I spent 2 weeks trying to close that thing out. I can't close it out. Right? Listen, you can use what's good for good. But if you're not spiritually minded, that stuff will bring you down. Right? I don't care what nobody says. Amen. There's more fighting on Facebook. More people ranting and raving and putting garbage on Facebook. You know what? You know why? Because most of those people are cowards. They won't see it to your face. So they attack you on Facebook. All these young people commit suicide because of it. So tell me something good about Facebook. Oh, well, I can talk to such and such. Yeah, you can talk to them on the phone or write a letter. Right? If you write a letter, you got nobody to know about you and them. Send a private text, not a group text. Right? Because if you send a private text, it only is between you and them. The mass media is destroying the church. I ain't gonna knock it.
Glory.
God sees everything. Just because you put it on the thing, God don't see it. I don't care if you do. I guess now you in Facebook, you put it in private, right? And can't you put it in private or something like that so everybody can't see it? Just the person that you send the wrong stuff to? God sees it. There ain't no private for God. God sees it all. Oh, that ain't what we have. Let's go to John. We want to find out how we deceived. Right? Matter of fact, I go by LinkedIn. When we were trying to get the church in 2014, I think, right? 2014, I closed my LinkedIn. I'm still getting LinkedIn requests. Like, what? This is 2 years later. Right? I said, forget it, devil. You got me. You tricked me once. Because that's how people in business keep in contact. But you won't treat me again. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm gonna tell you, this is how LinkedIn, even though it's good, right? I ain't mocking it, you know, if you want to do it, it's good, right? But we had our contacts because we had the, for our anniversary,
we contacted, you know, like business, like hotels and stuff, trying to do stuff. All these half-dressed ladies that I'm trying to get discounts for a hotel from is sending me, will you be my LinkedIn partner? That we would get a discount and get tax exempt. And everything associated with that, I think, man, if I don't close this, my wife is going to have a fried piece. I was like, close. I'm serious. Like, and then all of her LinkedIn's were linking them to me. I was like, and to this day, I'm still getting LinkedIn. The time I see LinkedIn, I go delete. I'm even going no further. Facebook, delete. Oh, you want to see what such and such? You got to sign up. I ain't never signed up. But nevertheless, let's get to this. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my, we try not to be deceived, right? We want to follow God and be right. He said, if you continue in my, then are ye mine disciples. And ye shall. So if you say the word, you will know. If you don't say the word, you will be easily deceived. So how do I not get caught up in it? I stay in the word. Amen. He said, and the truth shall make you free. They asked him, we be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth, it's a service. So how can you commit sin, be the servant of sin, and say, I'm saved and on my way to heaven? Jesus said, if you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. Alright? I wasn't supposed to go here, but let's go to Romans chapter 6 real fast. Can I got like all of these things. Alright, go to Romans chapter 6. If you commit sin, you're the servant of what? Sin. I don't care what anybody says, well, God will forgive you. You still committed the sin. So now you are the servant of sin. The Bible says, a former man is overcome of the same as he brought into. I don't care what it is. If it's sin, if it's adultery, if it's fornication, if you commit it, you become that servant of it. That's the Bible. And people are trying to do the wrong thing and walk with God. You can't walk with God holding hand with the devil. Like you can't walk with God and hold hand with the devil. Because eventually the devil is going to pull you away from following after God. Let me find this scripture real fast. I haven't did it in a while, but let me find it real fast.
Thank you, Jesus.
Alright, let's go to verse 15. Actually, let's start in verse 12, alright? We're talking about sin, right? And how sin, we start in verse 11. So we don't want sin to get the advantage. Anybody want sin to control you? Anybody want unrighteousness and ungodly control you? I hope not. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto you. When you guys say you were dead to sin, but alive, unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, don't be tempted to do wrong. Don't think I can do it in the dark. Nobody will find out because the scripture says your sin will find you out. Hide as much as you think, but God will find you out. But it said, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it to the lust. Neither yield ye yourselves members as instruments of, if your unrighteousness, it is sin. If you're not doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing, I don't care who sugarcoated, it's still sin. Well, who said it? God said it. God is not a man that he should lie. Alright, so it says, let a father but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under God? Sin is sin. Treat it up as you want to. The devil is working on trying to control you. Sin is still sin. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, whoever you obey, whatever is controlling you, whatever you're listening to, amen, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Amen. So whoever you yield yourself service to, that is now your master. That is what controls. That is what dominates, and I don't care how you try to create it up and get around it. Sin is still sin. Back to St. John. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be
free.
I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word has
no place in you.
When you don't want to be right, the word just won't settle right in you. Amen. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus says unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of
Abraham.
But now ye seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not
Abraham.
Ye do the deeds of your fathers. They said unto him, we be not born of. You know, they were trying to insult Jesus. They said, you know what? This fornication means that you are an illegitimate child. Because they believed that he was born of Mary before Joseph and Mary got married. So they're trying to insult him and say, well, how you going to talk to us? You're nothing but an illegitimate child. Right? Because they were caught up in their own unrighteousness. And they didn't realize that his father was not Joseph, but his father was the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. So they called him a fornicator. It said, born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand? It is simple. How do you don't understand? Even because ye cannot, ye are your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and never abode in the truth, because there is. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. That's enough. Whoever you use yourself service to obey, that is now your master. Amen. As we all stand.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Are we blinded by deceitful gifts and false promises? Or have we been blinded by the prince and master of deception? The deceiver gets us to believe a lie. The deceiver said, you can see it, don't worry, God will forgive you and you can do it again. That is not what God said. God said, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. We've been reading about in Proverbs, as elders and ministers come forward, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 13 said, whosoever comes to sin shall not prosper. Right? It's time, as a church of individuals,
Don't you think nobody knows? God says, I see y'all. And a lot of times, even in our own, God will bless us. Because the goodness of the Lord is intended to lead us unto repentance. It's time as a church that we have a heart for God. A heart for God follows after the truth and does not be influenced by lies. Not influenced by what I can get. Not influenced by the riches and fame. If I don't get nothing, and as long as I got Jesus, I got enough. Yes. Lazarus was a poor man, but he died and wound up in Abraham's bosom because his life was in tune with God. Yes. Align your life with God. Watch what you say. Watch what you act. How you act. Watch your response to people and situations, because God is watching everything we do. God watches everything we say. Just because we get mad, we can't spurt off, right? Because the Bible says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city without. Y'all like to use these proverbs? Y'all read all this, right? But it's time for us to be real. God never has accepted a lie. God never will accept a lie. The scripture says in Titus 1 and 2, God cannot lie. God will not lie. If God will not lie, he will not accept our lies. And the book of Revelation says, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's time for us to be sincere. It's time for us to search up to God. You know what? If you don't watch me, I just want to do what's right because I know God watches me. I don't do right for God because of fear of what others might say or do. I do right for God because I love God, because he called me out of a world of sin. God washed me up when I was dying in my own blood. When I was all stained and couldn't help myself, God helped me. The scripture says, what shall I render unto God for all his benefits unto me? It's time as a church that we just take the cup of salvation and call